Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Got a wonderful, exciting time this morning in store. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your word that is a light into our path. It is, Heavenly Father, our sword of offensive weapon. It is our bread. Father, we just thank you so much for your spirit who teaches us these things from your word. And Father, we thank you for the challenge that is set before us to witness for Christ in the short time we have on earth. We thank you so much, Father, for these young people. We thank you for this week at camp. We thank you for this morning of worship together. Pray that all that we do will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with hymn 191. It was kind of work we worked on at camp. I have decided to follow Jesus. Now here's what we're going to do. Everyone will sing verse 1. Only the campers sing verse 2. And then everybody else back together on verse 3. So verse 1, everyone. Verse 2, verse 2, campers. Verse 3, everyone. Let's all stand. Brian? Talk about the spiritual things that happened this last week, but you remember last Sunday and the Sunday before, I encourage you to be in prayer in regard to just a simple safety. I have never taken travel for granted, and I'm sure that you know of the Colonial Hills Baptist Church camp bus was coming home from camp. It wrecked and 3 people were killed. I am thankful for the safety at camp, getting to camp, and getting home. And so this morning we will do a wonderful celebration of the entire camp. That's what we're going to be dealing with through this morning. First of all, what our custom is just to go through some things we need to talk about in regard to prayer. And I always like to start with one of our own troopers here. Thomas, how you doing, sir? Good. And the doctor's report this last week? Yeah. Okay. They what now? Okay. And then what will they do? Okay. Yes. I understand. Okay. So, believers, there's your prayer and the challenge of prayer that is before you. Okay, any other prayer requests that we need to have that I'm not aware of, we need to bring before? Yes. Wow, suddenly. Family?
He has two daughters. And then he actually his sister and I grew up
together. Let's be in prayer for the family. Do we know if he is a believer in Jesus Christ? Okay, well, we'll just pray that he is and pray for the family. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Gigi's mother went on to be with the Lord this last week. And he's just got a lot of things he needs to get in order with his own family. So please be in prayer for Gigi, for wisdom, and getting back. He wants to come back to Texas. So just be in prayer for Gigi at his mother's promotion home. And yes. Very good. What would be our prayer then for her? Okay, very good. All right, any other prayer requests I'm not aware of? The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. The offertory is for the believer only. If you're here and have never believed in Jesus Christ by faith alone in Christ alone, the only issue before you is the offering on the cross, not an offering plate. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But it's not just for the believer. The offertory is for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, if I give everything to feed the poor, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. So, the issue is that love. How do we get that love? That love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we got to know how to be filled with the Spirit. That's the same as by salvation, by faith, by grace through faith in the Holy Spirit. He pours in His love and guidance in regard to giving. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we know salvation is free for just the believing. But we live in Satan's world. And in Satan's world, everything costs. We just had a wonderful week of camp. But Heavenly Father, we can't just let it go now. We've got to start right in on today, getting ready for next year. Financially, spiritually, so many ways, physically, especially physically for Chris Day, especially for Laura Day, the Wises, Jensen's, Langston, so many, Father. But that all comes in another week or two or three, or maybe a month. But Father, we need to get ready now for next year. We just thank you for the wonderful ways that you've seen fit to use this humble assembly, our internet outreach, missionaries, young people, and then right here. So, Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, through the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. First of all, I'd like to invite to thank you, all you campers and parents that are here this morning. We just thank you for allowing your young children to be a part of our week this last week, worshiping with us this morning. And I'm not going to take any more time. Chris Daig. Woo!
Good morning. I won't project my camp voice because it's not room's not as big as the pavilion, but I this isn't a microphone, so I don't have to worry about yelling. What an amazing week we just got done having, and I can't tell you how awesome it was from my standpoint. You know, I get clapped up here onto the podium and whatever, but on a relative scale of the things that went on this week, I was a pretty trivial part of the overall total combined effort that went into making this thing happen. And I want to take just a minute. There's a lot of staff that are not here because they came from all over the place, literally all over the place, all over the United States, all over the world. We have Fassel and Carrie that are here today to talk to us after I'm done. There's folks that came from Virginia, from Colorado, from Mexico. Grady was up. We all saw him last week. There were folks that came from Indiana. There were people that came from, a lot of folks from Texas. So it's humbling to stand up here and talk to you about what went on this week, just strictly from the standpoint of the love that was shared by all of these staff for these young people. We have a lot of graduates, that recent graduates from high school, that stepped up and just rocked the place. It was amazing to watch them interact with the kids, to work their fannies off. Fanny was the word of the week for me. To get things done. And so I would like, if you were a staff member at camp this week, please stand up. And that includes all of our teachers, that includes all the counselors, all the kitchen staff. Would you stand up so that folks can give you a round of applause, because you're the ones that made it happen. Now, remain standing for just a second. Hold on just a second. There's a few other folks that were part of this that they also don't get a whole lot of credit, and I know it's not about credit. All right, it's not about credit at all. It's about glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and about the relationships and the fellowship that we get to have. But there's a whole lot of people. Terry, would you stand up? Rick, would you stand up? Christy, I know you were involved. Pat and Phil were involved with making this happen. Jennifer and Brian were involved with making this happen. And there was so much financial support. I'm sure there's other people, and I apologize if I missed you because I just can't see you now. Everybody's standing up. So please go ahead and grab a seat. Steve, yeah, Steve won't say anything, although without Steve. Yeah, so Steve. And then he hides in the back so I can't see him, right? But really, honestly, the amount of effort that went into putting this camp on was amazing. This is our largest camp to date. We literally just flat ran out of room. So we've been praying a lot about what are we going to do next year. And just from what we're hearing, it sounds like Texoma Youth Camp, the facility that we're using, is getting ready to do a major. They just announced they're going to do a major renovation, and they're going to be adding space. So it looks like we might be able to stay there next year, which would be fantastic because it's an awesome, awesome place. And we'll show you some pictures, a slideshow here in just a second. But before we get there, I'm going to have the campers and some of the staff and anybody who wants to say a couple of words. All right, most of you will be like, I don't want to say anything. But I'm going to ask you to say a couple of things about your experience at camp. And then we'll show the video, and we'll rock from there. So if you guys, as you're making your way up here, just line up along the side. I'll bring the microphone to you so we don't have to crash everybody up here. There's way too many electronics. We'll break something. Campers, go ahead and stand up along the side here. But while they're getting there, if you would, please, open your Bibles to John chapter 14. That's in the New Testament, right? John chapter 14. As I was trying to think about what I was going to talk about this morning, I know that we went through the entire armor of God, and if y'all came up, putting on the full armor of God was our theme for the week, and if y'all came up to the talent show this week, you saw a lot of skits and a lot of kind of shows that were put on that were all about the full armor of God. These guys got it. They can... probably every one of them, and I'm not going to make you do it because it's early on a Sunday and you're still in camp coma. So we'll not make you go through it. But they know the armor of God. They know the pieces. We went through it, and they understand what putting on the full armor of God is. But if you look at John chapter 14, Larry would laugh at me because she knows I can't talk and do something else at the same time. So give me a second to get there. Jesus is talking to his disciples, John 14:6. And when Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we talked about the truth this week and putting on the full armor of God and what it means to put on the full armor of God. And it's hard to get across that without just completely going into, you know, 2.5 years worth of study. All right, that's minimum 7 years worth of study with Herman. On the spiritual warfare, and not being gloomy and dark and all of this sort of stuff, but the fact is that we live in the world. And as Herman was teaching these young people the other day, there's three enemies, right? There's the world, there's ourselves, and then there's Satan. And it's all in the part of the spiritual warfare. And what it comes back to is right here, where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's Jesus Christ talking. We live in the world. We have conflict with our own self, and the devil is after us all the time. And I can promise you, we could go through probably with most of these people, these campers, and especially the staff. Conflict was there. It was all over the place, and we were right in the middle of it. But you know what? It was amazing to slap on the armor of God and watch him work, because the conflict could have torn things apart. But these guys had an amazing week. We all, I think, had an amazing week. We come home and we're absolutely whooped. But we wouldn't have changed a thing, because the conflict is part of life, and the conflict is part of understanding when you put on the armor of God, watching him work. And it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. There is no other truth except Jesus Christ. There is no other way except Jesus Christ. And there is no life except through Jesus Christ. Right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he was willing to give his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And whether they remember putting on the helmet of salvation or the belt of truth, or the they'll never forget the sword of faith, because I think Herman bruised himself over the course of time. Right? He kept going like this, and finally we just got him a shield. But you know, this is it. Putting up the shield of faith. Whether they remember the individual pieces, I don't know. A year from now, will they be able to rattle them all off? I hope so. But it's recognizing that verse right there that says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. If we're living our life for anything else, we've missed it. Right? We've missed the point. And it's not just about camp. It's coming home from camp. And it's walking out into school. And it's walking out into the world and saying, you know what? I'm living my life for Jesus. I'm living my life for Him, because He gives me the power to live my life. He's the one that He's the one that puts us in the middle of the conflicts, allows this to happen, and says, stand back, trust me, I got it. That's why we're there. That's why the conflict is there. If there was no conflict, we'd be focused on ourselves. And so it might have started out a little gloomy and all spiritual warfare and battles and all this kind of stuff. But by the end of the week, I hope every person that was there, and I hope I can make my point across today. The whole point is the world is gloomy. The world is evil, and we are corrupt, and we will fight Satan every single minute of every single day if we're in the battle. But the cool part about the whole deal is that God says, you don't have to stand there and fight. I'll stand there and fight. Just trust me. And what an amazing way to live your life. What an amazing joy and peace that we get from just trusting Him. Trusting Him in our salvation, trusting Him in our spiritual life, trusting Him in everything that we do. And that's the point of camp. It's the relationships. It's the relationships between the campers and the staff and all of the others that were involved. And it's the relationship between us and our Savior, our God, who is the creator of all things, creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who says, don't do it on yourself. Don't do it by yourself. You can't. It's impossible. I'll do it for you. Just trust me. And what a great way to live. What an amazing way. What a fun thing to take home. On that note, I'm going to ask these guys, and you don't have to get quite so spiritual if you want. I would like you guys to tell me, just you know, whatever you comes to your mind around, what was your favorite thing? If it can be, you know, I blogged and I didn't die, and I'm going to show you something that we're close. Pass it down, 10 seconds, 2 seconds, I really don't have anything I hate to get past. If you say that, we'll talk later. Just tell them your name, Emily.
My name is Emily. And I had an amazing time at camp, and I got to meet new friends and get closer with the friends that I already had, and I got to get closer to God, and I just had an outstanding time with everybody.
My name is Cassidy, and my favorite part of camp was the singing, and I met a lot of new people.
My name is Hunter, and one of my favorite parts of camp was when it was raining and we got to watch the Bible.
My name's Ryan, and I liked worship the best because I got to learn new songs and meet new people.
My name's Cameron. My favorite part was being a counselor because I got to hang out with all the kids, and it was really fun to me.
My name's Anna, and my favorite part was Thursday night, getting to hear all the kids sing Set a Fire. That was really awesome.
My name is Amber, and my favorite part of camp was the delicious food from the kitchen staff. And landing on my face on the blob.
My name is Addie. My favorite part of camp was Thursday night, being on the beach with everyone, and afterwards having a high school girl talk in the dining hall.
My name is Ben, and my favorite part of camp was probably the worship, It was also fun when Fastball blobbed me, and I went sky high and then landed flat on my back. That part wasn't that part wasn't fun, but but it was fun when I didn't hit the water. So, my name's Nick, and my favorite part of camp was doing backflip on the blob and just to worship and learning about all the armor.
My name is Ryan, and my favorite part was the high dive, and I just had an amazing time at camp.
My name is Kinsey, and my favorite part was the music.
My name is Cameron, and if you thought I was going to take 10 seconds, then you don't know me. No, first I want to say that being a counselor, part of the staff, is totally different than being a camper. I'm still tired. But you guys that come back every single year, one, well, you're crazy, and two, you guys are just absolutely awesome and amazing. But this year I kind of understood why you come back. Talking with these kids and just seeing their passion for the Lord is absolutely life-changing. Especially this kid named Garen. And you say the word and half the staff goes, like this kid, he just, he was a troublemaker. He really was. You never thought he was paying attention. And so in one Bible study class, I was just watching him the whole time. And he was just goofing off, just doing his own thing. So afterwards, I pulled him aside, and I was talking to him. And nobody thought he was paying attention. I started asking him questions about, I think it was Grady that was teaching. I started asking him questions, just what Grady was talking about. He knew every single one. And it's just absolutely amazing what these kids take in. And my dad put it best, yeah, they're going to be confused, but that's probably the best part because that means they're thinking about it. And so just being a counselor really opened my eyes to how just their passion for the Lord. And we know these kids are going back home and they're talking to their parents. So not only the 115 kids that get it, not only the 30 staff or how many we had, we don't even know how many numbers, because these kids are taking it home and they're spreading it to their parents. They're talking to their friends. They want to invite more friends to camp. And so it's just absolutely amazing what this camp does. And it's just amazing and life changing.
Fassels, wow. My name is Lori. Just real quickly, I think that the thing that hit me the most this time was there's a lot of things on the schedule, but it's all the things that aren't on the schedule. And I just, as I think about that as just an example of how we live our life, the things that happen on the way to all the events, the times on the way to taking a kid to the bathroom, or the time as you walk past and you see two friends talking and they've got their Bible out, or you see a kid crying or a kid laughing, and it just reminded me to just seize the moment wherever we are to share Christ and just be involved with these kids. We have a choice. Chris talked about that too. We have a decision to make every moment of every day whether or not we're going to trust what God's plan is for us, and that even in all the tribulation and the trials, there's a purpose for that. And we have a choice to be engaged and be involved or to walk away. And every time I saw every one of these campers and these staff make the decision, even when we were really tired or it was really hard to, I was going back to go to bed, but I see this kid over here, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to go back and say, do you want me to pray with you? Yes. I don't know how many times kids said, yes, will you please? And to just stop and take that opportunity. So it's not just about what's on our schedule in our day. It's so much about what's not on our schedule, but what's on God's schedule. So it was awesome.
We're gonna have we're gonna show a little couple of videos, and then we're gonna sing another song. Y'all can grab a seat, please, because this is all about y'all today. All about y'all. How many more times can I say y'all? Can you kill the lights for me? All right, enjoy this. Hopefully, we can hear it and see it.
It's gonna be a big night. gonna have a good time. It's gonna be a big, 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 big night. One, two, I've been feeling down.
Pictures in this one, but we do have some blob videos. So everybody stand by for one second here. We're going to see what happens. We're going to sing a song, but before we sing the song, and then I'm going to introduce Fassel and Carrie, the one thing I want everybody, there's a lot of folks in here who don't come to the church very often, or don't come to our church, or not part of our church at this point in time, but Pastor Maddox has been teaching, what, 39 years now? 39 years, and sincerely from my heart, thanking him for, one, his dedication and his constant, nonstop study and teach and study and teach. For y'all that don't come to our church, I want you to understand something, and you're invited. We would love to have you be a part of our church. But our objective in these camps is not to, as you can see, we don't have a lot of room to stuff 400 people in here, so we're not out trying to recruit people. It's our outreach to these young people, and it starts from the leading of our pastor. He said one time, and it stuck, Laura and I talk about it all the time, the Dead Sea is not full of salt because there's no fresh water coming in. It's because there's no way for the water to get out. Right? and he continues to teach and teach and provide the fresh water in, and this is our way of getting the water out so it's not dead. It doesn't sit there and just do nothing. And he's my friend. He's our pastor. He's our leader. I love him. And I can't imagine going anywhere else. I would love to have everybody join us and see what it is to be taught the Word of God and not necessarily be entertained. This is fun and entertaining. But he teaches us the Word of God. And I appreciate him for what he does. And I know that's the leading of the Spirit and it's his gift. But I also want to recognize the man himself. He's an awesome man. I appreciate it.
God, you take these kids to all these camps. Thank you so much.
It's what we love. Before I make you cry anymore, we're going to turn on a happy song. So everybody, please get on your feet. Campers, you know this one. If the person sitting next to you is standing still like they don't know what they're doing, show them what to do. All right? But we're going to have a little fun, and we're going to see if we can... All right, now we put the lights off. That was awesome. That's it. So, the next thing I get the pleasure of doing, I guess I need to have my microphone on. Man, I didn't get all that on tape. I'll have to say that all over again, right? I get the... All right.
I get the pleasure of introducing some friends of ours. We met them a couple years ago. They've been up here one time. They decided to come back and spend a week at camp after, what, 5, 6, 8 other camps you've done for this. They've been doing camps since 2002. No, I'm kidding. They've done 4 other camps. They came up. So y'all that haven't spent a week up at camp with all these young people, they have more energy than all of us combined. And by the end of the week, you're whooped. Well, these guys have done 4 back to 5 now, back to back to back to back to back camps. They're going to go home, and I don't know what you're going to do, but it's going to be restful, I'm sure. Actually, not a chance, is it? So, Carrie and Faisal, John. Faisal is a pastor from Pakistan, born and raised in Pakistan. Came to here in 2008. Came to the United States in 2008. Married Carrie in 2000. And I guess I had to think about that for a minute, didn't you? Yes. 2007. And what amazing teachers, counselors. They both came in just right in the middle of, I mean, the amount of stuff that you have to try to figure out as you go. They had it figured out and went. And the relationships that they built with these campers and just the ministry that they had up there at camp. But that's minuscule compared to the things that they do around. Well, it's not minuscule in value. It's minuscule in size and time. But these guys came here to tell you a little bit about their ministry in Pakistan. I don't know if you all know, Pakistan is not overly friendly to Christianity, right? So, I'm going to let Faisal and Carrie take it from here. They've got a slideshow presentation to show you a little bit about their ministry, and they are amazing people. Man, we pray. I already started praying that they'll come back and join us again up at camp because it's awesome. So, without further ado, Faisal and Carrie John.
Wow. It's been an awesome week, and it's been an awesome journey. When we let Jesus Christ, you know, fight our battle, it's awesome. Because He got our back, He got all the ability, He got all the power, He got everything. And He wants from us one thing, just be available. And when we are available for Jesus Christ, we see awesome things and big giants like wall of Jericho tearing down. Big giant faints, giant goes on their knee and say, "You are Almighty Sovereign God." So thank you. Thank you, Brother Chris and Sister Lori and everybody for your love, your prayer, for everything. An awesome opportunity. So I want to start with a word of prayer, because without His power, God the Holy Spirit, I speak in tongue. And nobody can understand me. So His power will make everything possible to you understand, because English is my second language. I'm not going to speak in tongue. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Pastor Human and for everybody who is a part of this congregation and extended family in Christ Jesus. And thank you, Father, for this body of Christ and for the things they do and the opportunity and reward you have given to them. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, also give me wisdom and your Spirit lead me, guide me, especially my mouth and especially my wife. So whatever you want us to communicate, to inspire, edify, and encourage the body of Christ, that you are rock. Even in the midst of chaos, you are in control. Thank you, Father, for your power, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, and your promises that never cease, that never ends, that never change. So bless us all. And your Son Jesus' name be glorified and magnified and make known to those who are unknown. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, this is our Grace Bible Church in Pakistan. And I want to share with you guys within 30 minute, our 5 months mission trip, what happened in Pakistan and what God have done. And there will be some excited ride, awesome things. So we go every year in Pakistan from November to end of April. And our focus in Pakistan to teach, edify the body of Christ, and also go to remote villages, which is 7 days a week. Two or three people we send out to teach, encourage people, and when we are there, a lot of Gentile will show up. Gentile mean unbeliever. And that country is 98% of people who don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or Bible is the inspiring Word of God. So you deal with a lot of Gentile. 2% Christianity. So, yeah, these are the villages we go. And when we go in Pakistan in November, we prepare ourselves for the month of December. The month of December, we have like 25 meetings. 25 meetings, and we share Christmas care package. This is the tool we use in Pakistan, in the villages, to share the love of Christ and the gift of God in the term of salvation.
This is what we put in the packages. Toothbrush, toothpaste, fresh fruit, candy, American Dum Dum Lollipop. That's the favorite. And then the Word of God, which this year was the seven I Am's. So we took pictures and the verses that correlate with the seven I Am's in the Gospel of John. And we teach that as a teaching tool as we go back to these villages every week. So we jump off, we teach deeper into whatever subject. The year before was Psalms 23. They memorized the whole psalm in English and Urdu. This year was seven I Am's.
Yeah, so that was the theme focus in the Christmas care package, to talk about Jesus, who He is, and what He has done. So these are the some villages we go, and they color pictures, and especially some senior people over there, they have a maybe not even try in their lifetime period to color some pictures. So when they do that, they have a big smiles, and you can see all teeth are gone.
This is a Pakistani village kitchen.
Yeah, this is Pakistani kitchen.
And they have such joy to be able to feed us. It is, they live out the scripture that says the gift of hospitality, to welcome strangers in, even though we're not strangers anymore. But we were strangers, and at first they were very leery, you know, because pastors come and go. They come and go only on the holidays, and then they pass a hat, where ever since the beginning we've never taken an offering. Now they have learned to give whenever it's the season where they reap what the fields, they'll give us the harvest season, they'll give us food, they'll give us, and sometimes even give us some rupees, which is the their currency. But we've never asked them. It's a grace ministry.
And that is the love part. When they know that we are there to teach and share with them, they're so excited. Yeah. They know that these people are here to care for us, not to, you know, take from us.
Well, the main thing is these villages that we go to, they're just pods, and they're all just given a number. And it's mostly Muslims, and then it's because it's 98% Muslims in Pakistan, 2% Christian. And so, but you'll have three homes, or you'll have seven homes, or you'll have two blocks that are Christian, and they don't have a church there. So now they feel like they're part of a church, like they belong to. These people come every week, you know, and so they have some belonging.
And these villages are full of testimony and struggles and stories, and I wish, maybe not in this end, maybe in heaven we get to, you know, enjoy those stories and testimony, how they are facing every day so many giants and so many troubles with the power of Jesus Christ.
And a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Which is where, you know, I mean, you can just reach kids because they're open for the truth.
Every family have at least 5 to 6 kids. Some have a baseball team, like a 12.
This is our church and school, the first building we bought. We bought the land across the street and built 2 new school rooms because our school is registered preschool to 8th grade. It's a Christian English middle school, and we're from 3-year-olds to 5th grade this year. We're not bringing in 6th and 7th and 8th because we want to raise a new generation in the Bible. And so instead of having these kids come out, it started out and went up to 3rd grade, and then the next year was 4th grade, last year was 4th grade, this year is 5th grade. And so that's how our school runs. We've got great teachers, and God has just provided abundantly.
Yeah, so in the Grace Academy, in the Christmas care package, we every year, like over 100 kids, they get a uniform, shoes, belt, socks, sweater, and also the Christmas care package, which is awesome for them, because mostly family cannot afford it, so it's a great gift to them to remind them, these things will perish, these things will rip apart. But the gift we are sharing with you guys, it will stand forever, and His name is Jesus. And they're so excited to hear the token of grace and take the token of grace to enjoy.
Yes, and the Christmas care package, the box that we give out with the scripture, we gave out 620 boxes last year. And then this is the new school uniform. Our kids from our school get a new uniform so that lasts them all year long. And so that's the extra part of that. These are our school kids and some of the Colony kids, because we didn't want to leave any child out. We wanted to invite everybody to the program. And this is just them doing I Am the Vine, obviously. And these are the 7 I Am's. And those are the boxes that we buy everything there, except for the Dum Dum lollipop. We bring that with us. We buy everything there. It's a lot cheaper, and then box it up.
They love American sugar.
This is and it tastes different, you guys. It does. This is them in their new uniform the next day with some of our teachers. This is the girls. This is the boys. And this is Christmas. Christmas, where all the villages come in, including our congregation, which is about 70 on Sunday and about 20 to 25 on every morning.
Yeah, I teach whenever I have an internet access. I teach every evening, which is every morning over there. And they get together 4:45 a.m. Before they go to work, they have a little devotion, 20-minute teaching, and then they go to do their work. And their work is sweeping, working in a Muslim's home, cleaning toilets, sitting on a public toilet. That's the way people can earn money. Christian cannot sell any food because nobody will buy, because they consider third-class citizen and also unholy according to Gentiles.
Right, you can't flourish. You can't.
Yeah. So
this is the Christmas meeting.
Yeah.
And then this is our colony. This is what it looks like from our roof, from our his mom's roof, where we stay at. We have a room there. And so this is our school kids in Bible class. And I went in February with Fallon Fichtow from Austin Bible Church. She did a great job teaching. And I was teaching a Bible class. Fassel's translating. And this is Fallon. And this is in one of the villages.
Yeah, in the villages, we were using a wordless book, which is awesome tool to use, and it was outstanding visit this year. We go to, this time we went to 10 villages, and mostly people come to the saving knowledge of Christ through that small tool, which is called wordless book, using colors and make sense to everybody. Even a lot of Muslim understood, and they said, we won't make that decision.
They were on the roof. They were all, because whenever anybody visits some of these villages, especially somebody new, they just gather. They're just curious because they don't get visitors, so it draws them in. And then we did our first women's conference. 271 women came, and Phelan taught for 4.5 hours. This is their faces. They were just so joyed that somebody was paying attention to them. Most of these women are Christian. Some are Muslim. But they came from many different villages and from places that we didn't even know of. We fed them, you know, snacks, and it we could have went on and on. Women don't know how to read. Most of them never went past the fifth grade, and their job is just being a wife, being a mother, and that's okay. But what we did was we read a lot of scripture to them. We just read the Bible, and then we emphasized some things and taught on things, and it went all the way until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we could have kept on going. But the husbands came, and they were standing at the door, and they're going, "We need dinner." And so I told Phelan, "We got to stop. Sorry." And she's like, "Darn, I was just getting into love, you know." But she's coming back this year.
Yeah. They were very happy because in Pakistan custom, women are not lifted high. They are like land, own land. So mostly people treat them very brutally over there.
Muslims,
yeah.
Christians.
Yeah, not the Christian.
But the Christian culture, I mean, that culture bleeds down into Christianity too. I mean, the main people that we teach are Christians. They don't know anything about grace, you guys. They come from a works program. They come from Hinduism. They come because it used to be India. Pakistan used to be India, so there's a lot of this just mixed up flavor. So we just go to Christian colonies and really just teach them about grace. Mm-hmm. So we really, and then sometimes Muslims are in there, but for the most part we have an enormous audience of just Christians who are born into the Christian. They were born Christians, but they've never really understood or professed faith in Christ.
Or never thought what is a gospel. If you ask, have no idea what is a gospel. So we go there, teach them about who is Jesus and how you can, you know, be a child of God by faith alone in Christ alone.
The three things that we lift up is, first of all, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? And there's no error in it. If you can believe that, we find out. Then we can go to the next step. You know, salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. And then we give them all those scriptures. And then after that, we talk about eternal salvation. Because that is where it's mostly out of the 2% Christian, it's almost like 80% Catholic. So eternal salvation goes in there. And so it's just a process.
Also being...
If they can believe that, then we've done our job.
Also, being in Pakistan, Muslims do not believe that Bible is the Word of God. They said it's changed. Then also, in their work system, you cannot earn salvation by faith. You have to work to die for, or jihad for. So these are the things or ideas mostly people have adopted from them. And also about you cannot be saved forever. You have to, you know, save over and over or do some kind of, you know, things. So that's why we focus on salvation, Bible, and eternal security.
This is a blessing from God. We had two more missionaries come. Phelan left, and Ricky Grease, who is our vice chairman on our board, and a great friend of Fassel's, Jesse, came. And there was a lot of... there's two colonies that had gotten burnt and completely destroyed. And so... through the grace of God, we were offered special, what do they call them?
Elite force. So this lead force was provided by God, I can say, first time in Pakistan, 24/7 with AK-47 safety off. That was the officer told me. And anywhere we were going, we have two big vans full of people on arm, going for our protection, because two community was burned by a Muslim mob.
On the back of their shirt it said in English, "No fear." So funny reading English. So our guests felt quite a little bit safer. This is a new village that we went to, that they're looking for a church to belong in. So it was just opened up, and so Ricky taught there. Fassel translated the whole time. He did a phenomenal job first time translating. It's not easy. He just learned English in 2008, you guys. God, the Holy Spirit is working in his life.
Wow.
Yeah. This is Fassel teaching the Bible in our school. This is the exam time. They were there during exams. So Bible is the one class. So Jesse was reviewing the seven I Am's in English, obviously. The school teacher did the year do. And so he had the privilege of, and they could recite all seven I Am's and scripture and verse and in English and Urdu. They did a great job, I know. Oops, and there's the elite force. That's us in our van and them in their van surrounding us as we're going from village to village or
city to city.
This is a crusade that we had in one of the villages. This is all the women's side. This is the men's. This was all done by people. We just had to show up. But they wanted us to come, and so Ricky taught on that. This is the
pastor conference. This is
pastor's conference. Go ahead, honey.
This is our first pastor conference in Pakistan, and pastor came from all over. They are hungry. And we have a privilege to share with them the basics book from Pastor Gene Cunningham, and it's a very awesome tool to share. We have just translated and printed in Pakistan, and we've been distributing in Pakistan. And those pastors were so happy that somebody giving them a book without paying and also providing a food and Bible studies and back and forth their what is called traveling expenses. So they were very happy.
And now this is one of the new villages. Yeah. With a lot of kids. It was packed. This church, this little church was packed. People were just looking in, and these are just the kids. And it went on over there. We couldn't get them all, you know.
This church like in a basement, and you have to go in maybe this high. And it was full, and people outside, and people you can see they are watching from outside what is being taught, and they were so excited. And I already been receiving a request and phone calls from people, and keep us in your prayer, because last year we did 620 care packages, and I'm hoping or projecting this year going to be maybe more than 1,000 Christmas care packages in Pakistan in a remote area to share.
And these packages are very affordable, and you can use them in as a tool with your children. It's less than $5 to put this package together, and for our kids, which will be over 100, it's $10. That for leather shoes, for a new school uniform, for a sweater, hat, you know, tie, their new uniform. Some things are extremely cheap. Other things are expensive, like travel. That's considered, you know, fancy. So you have to pay more. But this year. Everything will be on our website, so we're going to be passing out, these things are available with our information, and you can visit our website to see, or even become a contact for our newsletters, our monthly newsletters. This is Fassel's family. This is when I was leaving. We were having dinner, and there's no table and chairs in Pakistan. We just sit on the floor. We just put a blanket down and sit on the floor, so... This is his family. This is my family, my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters. I'm the elder daughter, and so I have the privilege, because Fassel's elder son, I have the privilege of naming all the kids in the family, his sisters, his brothers, I get to name them all. And this is a blessing, because in my 20s I had cancer, I had a hysterectomy, I never could have children, and God has just given me so many children at U.S. camps, children in Pakistan, and even given me the privilege of naming kids, and in their language I'm called mom, because the elder daughter is called mom, he's called papa, but like the real mom is called Ami and Abu, but my name is mom. So it's like all these little special things that God said, don't worry, I got this, and as he emerges these things, I'm like, Oh my God, you're just like the best father in the world. This is our family.
Yeah, the half team of baseball.
Yeah.
Five brothers, two sisters.
Yeah. Myself, Fassel, Anila, and Hope, the baby, and Fassel's brother, Chris. Then you've got Sadif, and that's Samson, and Fassel's brother, Kasser, and Johanna, and then Fassel's sister, Huma, and then that's Jesse. This is little Carrie down here, little one smiling. Behind there is Fassel's brother Yasser, his wife Nigat, and Karis, and then his mom, his brother Rajesh, and that's our missionary friend Ricky, and then Fassel's father, Samuel.
Yeah, he's still alive. He's still alive.
They're believers. They're all believers now. They were not believers. Fassel was the first believer in the family.
Yeah, so my dad became a believer, and he's still alive and still moving forward, and he's every morning in the church. Yep. He was the firstborn in his family, and he was the one who's going to sit on a magic seat, going to be a next witch doctor, to do all satanic power things and all magic stuff. But God delivered me, and through me, God delivered him. So.
Fassel's great-grandfather and grandfather are very famous in Pakistan for this black magic.
We still have our temples and their graves, and people come and worship them. They put money and ask wishes, and Satan's do his job, as he was attempting Jesus. If you just bow to me, worship me, I will give you everything. So. That is a real spiritual warfare, what we just learned this last week, about putting the full armor of God.
Yes, as a matter of fact, there has been incidences there where even Ricky, he couldn't move in his bed. There was a demon. And Jesse was sleeping right next to him. It was a big bed, you guys. And they were in the room next to us, and literally he said, for I don't know how long, I couldn't move. But I there was a demon there, and this stuff is because it's an unbelieving country. It's real. It happened to me too. Fallon was really freaking out too with some things. So
it's a good ground to use the armor of God. If anybody desire to come, please contact us. We will have you and take you to the time of Jesus, where you see the fingerprints of, you know, Bible, how they live and how you deal with them, or the things you can see.
This is Palm Sunday this year. This is a Resurrection Sunday, our gathering, a picture. Again, it looks like Christmas, only it's Easter.
Yeah, the Resurrection Sunday, the team who's been protecting us and going every villages. The lead team, they asked, they said, what is about the Resurrection Sunday? What happened?
Tell the story.
See, God knew. God knew Adam cannot do it.
Okay, the way it works is the congregation begins to worship, and they worship in psalms, and so everybody's gathering, and as they hear the songs, the people come out of their homes, and they walk in, and so they're worshiping, and then about the third or fourth song, Fassel leaves his home, and he comes in, and then they begin to teach the word of God. Well, they're singing, and in the meantime, Fassel walks out of the home, and these elite men who are there to protect us, because every Sunday the government sends police to protect us. Every church that's registered in the country, not that won't stop a mob, but that's their way of saying we're doing something for the minority. Stops Fassel and says, "What is this day all about?" So Fassel stops, and they sit down. And for
no, I just stay stand.
Okay. And he starts to tell them in details. Well, now the congregation is on like the 14th song, and they're going towards the pastor. But anyways, it was funny.
So it was a divine opportunity to tell them who is Jesus, what happened, and just so happened. I was teaching on Resurrection Sunday about the different 17 appearance of Jesus Christ after his resurrection as a evidence, and it was important because Jesus Christ and His resurrection in His time and also today in Pakistan, being accused that He never died. He went alive to heaven. That is the teaching of Gentiles in Pakistan. So I was dealing with that and they were so happy and they said, wow. That's what exactly they said, wow.
So this is the last project we did before Fasl returned in April. We fed 65 poor families or widows with children.
Yeah, widows, poor families, and like very, very extreme poor families. And it was a God thing. And we start very, very good. And I start praying. I said, Lord, how you want me to finish this mission trip? And He just put in my heart, there's some families been asking, we need, you know, daily food and we don't have. And it took only, I think, $15 for per family to have a food for at least 15 days. So we got to did that awesome token of grace to share with them, and they were very happy. They were very happy.
Coins. We pass out gospel coins from, you guys all probably know about the gospel coins. In Urdu.
Yeah, in Urdu it's been distributed in Pakistan, I think over 5,000. And our friend, what is his name, Bert?
Bert Camazon.
Bert Camazon, and he have done in 107 languages. And he sent us to the coins in Pakistan, and we use.
It's cheaper. This is our Bible study group. Our next prayer, it's on here too, is an orphanage and a Bible college. And that's where we're headed. Bible college, we don't know what God's going to do for us, but that's our vision.
And these are the 11 young men became a believer. The first night they were in the month of January. In the month of January, it's cold and we don't have a heat system. So we are in church and they were studying and ask a question. What is mean to born again or die, born once and die twice? So from that question, they come to the saving knowledge of Christ. 11 young men understood the grace of God.
So, and then this is a Muslim family that converted, and no church would accept them in. And we said, you know, we will be the ones to sign the papers, because when you convert and you need to have the government change it over, and it's risky, but you have to have a church sign papers to be part of it. And so Fasl was led to by the Spirit of God to be part of proclaiming them as Christians and putting our church name on.
Yeah, to giving them a birth certificate or certificate so they can apply for their official ID as a identity card. Because every Christian is known over there by their last name, which is Masih, Messiah, or Christ, or any biblical name.
Like our last name is John, J-O-H-N. It was chosen by Fasl as a Christian last name.
Yeah. So that family was suffering and people were not taking a risk. I said, I will take a risk.
Well, it's Jesus anyways. And they go to our school now.
So these kids coming to the school and being educated.
We do have some Muslim kids in our school. Our school is mandated. We have to teach the Quran. We have to teach a portion of the Quran, enough for them to pass it each class, because it's one nation under Allah. It's a theocracy. So, but we also teach Bible. And so the Muslim families, we tell them we teach Bible here. It's a Christian school. If you don't want your child in that class, they can go into another room and do their studies. But, you know, be aware that you know, we teach English, all the academics. Bye.
We just use a small portion of Quran, right? Because it's in the curriculum, the national curriculum. Yeah. But mostly Bible. Yeah. And if they don't want to sit in the classroom, guess what? We have a small school, and when 78 kids saying, Lord is my shepherd, it goes from one end to the other end of the colony. So it doesn't matter if they are sitting, even they go in a bathroom, they can recite, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So it doesn't matter.
But, you know, I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, so please keep this family in your prayer, and whenever you see green color, green color or white color, prayer for nation Pakistan, the believers in Pakistan, or Grace Bible Church.
These are another group of guys that they gather together. They're standing in front of our home waiting for Faithful to come and teach them part of the basics book or the Bible or something. Just get together and talk. And this is one of the colonies that had been burnt down firsthand picture.
Yeah, two colony of community was burned, like 470 homes was burned. And they have to leave, because if they not leave, last incidents, 9 people were burned alive because they don't want to leave.
So the police are very merciful. They don't want nobody to get hurt. They don't want paperwork. They don't want anything. So when they realize that jihad is being called through the same speakers that they pray out of, they go in and they say, you need to leave. And so these Christians, nobody got hurt. Nobody got killed. These Christians all lived, but they left everything that they had behind, and these people came in and took anything that was worth anything and burnt the rest. And it takes, they don't have any money, you guys. It takes a lifetime to
restore back to the little bit common life they were living.
So this is true persecution, so pray for
Christians. Pray for Christians in Pakistan. And
she was born, this is our last baby. Oh no, Elijah is the last baby. She was born at Christmas. Yeah, and she was born without the piece that hangs down here in your throat, and then also part of the upper bone area in your mouth. You know, it was like a cleft palate, but not all the way through. So she needs to get an operation at some point. So pray for her.
So thank you very much for your attention and for your prayer. And thank you, Pastor Herman and Brother Chris and everybody. We will be back.
Thank you so much, Basil and Terry, for coming all the way from Pakistan to be a part of not only camp, but part of our church. Please, if you would, on your way out, Herman, I didn't ask permission to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You can tell me that you didn't want me to later. Can we put the offering plate back there by their stuff? On the back, on the way out on the right, they didn't ask me to do this. They've never asked for anything. They show up and they say, we love you. We want to be a part. If you feel led to take one of their flyers here, the Grace Missionaries in Pakistan flyer with the red, it's a beautiful picture. The picture on the top, if you want to take it home and put on your fridge so you can pray for them, we're going to have it over here on our missionary board. We would love for you to, on your way out, if you feel led, hey, we're going to put the offering plate back there. It's your choice. All that will go to them and to the work that they're doing throughout Pakistan and throughout the United States as well. They're amazing, and I know they're amazing through God. So it's awesome to have them as part of everything that we have going on. That's what we've got for you today. We had an amazing camp. We've had an amazing opportunity to learn a lot about some folks that we've never gotten a chance to really spend time with, not only campers, but staff and other people within the camp here today as well. Grady, I'm assuming Grady made it back because he didn't text me that he was dead. So, although internet's probably down anyway, so even if he did text me, he probably wouldn't have come through. I'll tell you later if that happens. So, no, I'm just kidding. Grady was awesome as well as all the staff. Phil came up and taught. So Phil teaches. We got Phil dedicated on the slam camp in the spring, so he teaches that whole time. But he was willing to come up, and I felt bad because I only gave him like, I told him a half an hour. Then when he got there, I told him, no, it needs to be an hour. And then he goes, seriously? He was very gracious about about it, but it was awesome. We love having Phil teach as well, so he's an amazing teacher. We are so blessed to have fantastic teachers that are taking the word out to these young people all over the place. So with that, Herman, do you have anything else, or I'll close in prayer? Awesome. If you would, please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the blessing of being here today. We praise you for the blessing of this camp and all the young people that were given the opportunity to learn about you and the relationship with you and the staff that took their time and also the amount of that we all take away as staff from this week. We praise you for the blessing of our church and all the folks that that came here this morning to be a part of the celebration of a wonderful week. Father, we praise you for your Son, that he came and provided us eternal salvation. He took the debt of sin and just washed it away and is no longer about sin. Salvation is about your righteousness, and Father, you give it to us freely. All we have to do is accept it. Father, we thank you for Fassel and Carrie and Grady and Phil and all the small group teachers and Herman being up there and all of the time that they got to spend in teaching these young people. We ask that you give them safety in their travels. We ask that you continue to bless their ministry. And Father, we just ask a specific prayer for all those folks in Pakistan who, man, the tribulation that they live under, the persecution that they live under, Father, we ask that you will continue to soften their hearts to the word that Fassel and Carrie take and spread it throughout Pakistan and just spread it like the wildfire. Father, we thank you for who you are. We are amazed at who you are. We love you. We give you our all. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, everybody.